Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to dive into the Word of God, the living Word of God, friends. This Word has power to change our lives. As the writer of Hebrews tells us, you know, God's Word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts right between bone and marrow and goes right to the human heart and examines the intentions of the human heart. And some of that reality is happening today in these beautiful readings. The Word of God is penetrating human hearts, and hopefully we can get to both the first reading. We have at Mass today from Acts chapter 16. We've been looking at key passages over the last number of weeks from Acts, just to watch the church unfold so we don't miss it, to lay hold of what is the message, what are they communicating, what's happening, who are they speaking to, the apostles, who are they engaging, what's the engagement like, how is the Holy Spirit working, what are the consequences that they're experiencing. All of that's so important to be able to lay hold of that, because this is the model of really how the church goes forward in history. And we ended yesterday with the apostles being beaten, you know, after their second time, Peter and John, before the leaders, the religious leaders of Israel, telling them that you must stop speaking about Jesus. But that last few verses of chapter 5 of Acts says this after they were beaten. It says, so they took his advice, that is, the leaders took the advice of Gamaliel, one among them, who said, look, if they're of God, you can't stop them. If they're not of God, they will be stopped. They won't be able to go anywhere, basically. And so it says here then, so they took his advice, the leaders took Gamaliel's advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them, charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council. How did they leave? Angry, intimidated, fearful, regretting what they had done. How did they leave? No, it says this. They left the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. This is a really good thing, friends, for us to meditate on right now in the difficult times we're living in the culture. The culture is going the wrong way for the most part. It's against Christ more and more as time goes on. Yes, a culture that used to embrace or at least respect God and the things of God from the Judeo-Christian tradition, that stuff's changing very rapidly. You know, the battle over now the whole Roe versus Wade thing that's unfolded over the last number of weeks in the country, it's going to lead to very, very intense protests. We're going to see the rage and anger, and probably our streets are going to burn. Who knows? You know, it's going to happen again. And the rage really is against conscience. It's against God. It's against the parameters of God, God's plan, and the rest of it. And there'll be a lot of irrational, crazy behavior. And there's going to be time for Christians to stand, just to be witnesses to the reality of life, of the eternal, you know, value, the inestimable value of human beings, and to be able to voice, and for politicians to be able to voice and to vote probably in different ways. And everybody's going to be challenged by this, and watch the kinds of compromise and twisting. And it already came out with, you know, President Biden said, well, nobody really knows, you know, when a human being is conceived, who knows, you know, or it comes to be. Well, actually, we do know. He quotes Thomas Aquinas from the 13th century that maybe there was a little something. Well, we know exactly when it happens at conception. There's no doubt about it. And he's trying to say, well, it could happen later. No one really knows. So therefore what? So therefore you kill the baby? You don't know? That's at minimum manslaughter. It's a crazy way to argue. And the reason I'm bringing him up is because he considers himself a devout Catholic. That's crazy. It's just a tremendous blindness. And it's a bondage to an idol. Power, politics, wanting the affection of human beings, all of that. Fear of resistance, fear of standing, whatever the issues are, he's stuck in an idol. And you can't put anything before the Lord in the Lord's will. It's critical to know that. So they rejoiced, and it says, what did they do? And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is what they preached. They never stopped. Even though everybody who had power said, stop it. They rejoiced at the opportunity to do it in the midst of trouble, and they kept doing it. They did it in their homes, and they did it on the streets. So that's something to think about. Do we do this in our homes? How much do we talk about Jesus as the Christ in our own home and what that means? To have Jesus at the center of our conversation together, as couples, as families. I mean, this is just flowing out of them. It's not like a requirement or something they have to check the box on. They're living with the Lord and with profound conviction, really, about who he is and what he's done. So now we shift to Paul in the reading today in Acts 16. It says, the crowd in Philippi, where he is joined in the attack on Paul and Silas. So they were preaching Christ as Lord, and they were attacked. And it says, the magistrates had them stripped and ordered them to be beaten with rods. Stripped and beaten with rods. So maybe the apostles were beaten. The word rods wasn't there, but Paul got it here. He was beaten with rods. But nonetheless, both Peter and John and Paul and Silas are now being beaten for speaking the name of Jesus, that he's Lord. This is the thing that people don't like, because Peter's declaring something. He's not saying, hey, you know, I've got some good news if you want to hear it. You know, I know there's a lot of roads, a lot of paths to happiness in heaven. Everybody's going to go there anyway. But you know, this particular guy I follow, here's some good stuff you can consider for yourself. He doesn't do that. He's declaring, he's proclaiming. Right in the streets now and in synagogues, Paul and Silas following the footsteps of Peter and Paul, he's declaring that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That is, he's the one exalted at the right hand of God, the only means of salvation, as Peter said earlier. He said, there's no other name under heaven by which anyone can be saved. And that he's Lord of all. He's the final judge of the living and the dead. And he's offering now people salvation before that day of judgment comes for them. And so people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that they have to change and repent and to bend a knee, to be humbled. Modern man is no different. Same problem. So they're arrested, they're stripped, humiliated in that stripping, just like the Lord, and they were beaten with rods. After inflicting many blows on them, they threw them into prison and instructed the jailer to guard them securely. When he received these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and secured their feet to a stake. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God as the prisoners listened. How about that? It's midnight, they're chained, they're in jail, they've been beaten, their bodies have to be sore, probably bleeding, broken bones maybe, who knows? But it's not a good situation, and those terrible Roman prisons and jails, last place you'd want to be. So here these brothers are, Paul and Silas. What are they doing with their time? Are they complaining? Are they angry? Are they cursing? What are they doing? No, they're singing. They're praying. They're singing hymns to God, giving him praise. And the other prisoners listened. Who are these guys? These brothers were light in a dark place. They were joy in a joyless place because they were living with the Lord, and nothing, no circumstance in this life could prevent them from celebrating the reality of who they are in Christ, what Christ has done. And like Peter and John, they're rejoicing, we get to be rejected. We get to suffer for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. Friends, is this where your mind, and I'm asking myself, is this where my mind is at? I mean, how many people are just paralyzed all over the place of standing up for the truth for fear of loss of some kind? These readings are meant to convict us, yeah, convict us about where we stand, but to encourage us and to help us see what matters most and what the posture of a disciple in this life is really meant to be. It says, there was suddenly such a severe earthquake that the foundations of the jail shook. All the doors flew open and the chains of all were pulled loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he would have been responsible. He was assuming all the prisoners would have escaped and on his watch, and he would have suffered greatly for it. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted out in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." It's like, what? How could you all be here? He said, he asked for a light and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. He knew something supernatural had happened and that these men were at the center of whatever happened. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Isn't that interesting? there's a major sign that happens. You know, an earthquake happens and his worst nightmare happens. And he's struck by it, first by the fear of men, but then realizing what happened, the fear of God struck him. And right before the apostles, he was humbled. The fear of the Lord awakens the mind and heart. This is what St. Augustine said. St. Augustine said at one point, I don't know of any conversion that he's ever personally been aware of where that conversion didn't begin first in some way with the person experiencing the fear of the Holy God, the fear of the Lord. And so this is the kind of thing I think Augustine's talking about. And so what does this man want? Clearly something supernatural is happening. How can I be saved? And Paul answers this way. And you can answer this way if people ever ask you. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your household will be saved. Note, they didn't say, go do good to your neighbor or just don't hurt anybody anymore in your life, or don't tell any more lies, or live the Torah, the Ten Commandments, or whatever. That's not what they said. All those things are important. But what comes first? This, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means radically surrender your life and trust to him, repenting of your sins, turning your heart to him. And then it goes on to say, so they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to everyone in his house. He was open. And dads, listen, fathers, listen, you see what this man did? This man opened his whole household to the word of God. You know, fathers and mothers, you're leading your families. Dads, you're heads of the household. You got authority. You know, you have great influence, right? What comes in that house and goes out of that house has to come through mom and dad. So look, he was so caught up and he was so full of joy that he was saved. He went home, told his family. And then he spoke the word, the apostle spoke the word of the Lord to all of them. And then guess what happened? It says, he took them in at that hour of night and he bathed their wounds. He took care of them. And then he and all his family were baptized at once. So this is important. This is why Catholics echoing Jesus, echoing the apostles say, you know, talk about the centrality, how important it is for everyone to be baptized. Jesus said, you can't enter the kingdom of God without it, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit. So Paul says, yes, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and your household will be saved. Now people could stop there and say, that's all you need. Well, that belief, that faith, which is God's gift to you, yes, that's it, but it's completed in baptism, that surrendering of your life, that act of faith and surrender, because Jesus said, the very one you're believing in is the one you respond to who says, unless you be born again by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So that's what salvation ultimately is. And that's what then Paul is completing as he, you know, I'm sure he said, for my money anyway, just put it that way, it says that he spoke the word of the Lord to them. He was telling them more about the Lord and what the Lord said about baptism. And probably told them about the need to be baptized. It's not just a secondary thing. It's the place where the old man is put to death, like Paul says in Romans chapter 6, and we rise to new life in Jesus Christ. After the baptism, it says, he brought them up into his house and provided a meal, and with his household rejoiced at having come to faith in God. What a fantastic, amazing story. This is just a little picture, friends, of what the church is meant exists for. And the Lord wants you to be involved in something that beautiful too. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.